I don't know what you had in mind, but here we stand on opposing sides. Let's go to war. Let's go to war!
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by John Boy. Me and I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. We got ourselves a Bucks preview with a little extra sprinkled in. We got Greg Allman of The Athletic, who covers the Bucks, coming on in a little bit. And then we'll bring in Danny for our fantasy draft and quick picks and giant factors. Justin, what's going on, dude?
Got my Hog Molly shirt on today, because boy, do we need him. Boy.
Well, first, let's thank some people. Let's thank Josh S. So, thanking him a second time because I accidentally forgot his name the first time. So we're thanking him. And then we're thanking two people who have basically the same name with Robert Brower. Robert Brower. You know, there was these people I know. It was a couple. And the couple would call, she had a really bad lisp, and she would say Wobbert. And her boyfriend's name was Robert, and they call her Wobbert. And he would gas her up and like, she's so smart. And it's like, no, she's not, Robert.
That's fun.
You shouldn't.
You got to gas people up. Come on. We need to. This year has been hard enough.
This was like 5 years ago, Justin.
We
need to gas people up.
This year has been hard enough.
And then Bobby Stripes. Bobby the boy in stripes. How about that?
Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. $2 a month. You get some good perks. Behind the scenes things, I release Talking Analytics early to the Patreon crowd. We live stream all of our podcasts, and they get access to monthly raffles 2 times a month to get some free shirts. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Bobby, we got some Corolla news. The Corolla has hit the New York Football Giants.
It has hit the Giants, and it hit us up front. Hit us right in the mouth. Will Hernandez has coronavirus, COVID. If you don't know, well, now you know. Now, they quarantined Gates, Thomas, Peart,
Lemieux,
Poli.
Slade, one
Poli
of them.
Poli was one of them. And I think Fleming. No, Peart practiced. I think Fleming was quarantined.
A lot of them were not practicing today. And usually the Wednesday, Thursday practices are pretty important.
Yeah. Kyle Murphy practiced. Matt Peart practiced. Kevin Zeitler practiced. Chad Slade, maybe?
I think Slade did practice, even though I just said that he was quarantined. But I remember seeing his name in a noteworthy fashion, which I would think it would be that he actually, whoa, Chad Slade practiced, which good for Chad Slade. He got reps.
So
probably the starting guard.
Shane Lemieux's going to start, right? I said this. Don't be surprised, though. Because it's short notice, because they see Shane Lemieux in practice and they may not deem him as ready, I wouldn't be surprised, if they played Slade, or two, they slid Gates over and pit Pulley at center, or vice versa and pit Pulley at guard. I'm hoping for Lemieux, just because, you know, new is always more fun. I like Lemieux, but I've been saying Shane Lemieux's college tape reminds me of Will Hernandez's pro tape. So, like, we got to pump the brakes. This guy will have struggles. He might give up a sack. There is issues there. There is a reason he fell to the fifth round. I like him. I think he was an awesome fifth round pick. But not having Will Hernandez is a loss. It is 100% a loss. And if you're arguing that it's not, it's just because you don't like Will Hernandez.
Before last week's game, he was number one in the National Football League in run block win rate.
We don't use those fake stats. Pass block win rate and run block win rate is not a real stat.
I actually do think I validate run block win rate more than I validate pass block win rate, because it's a lot easier to see. In my opinion, you could disagree with this, and I probably will agree with you anyway, because I really don't feel that tied into those kind of stats. but it's easier to see if an offensive lineman wins a play against the run and they're what they're kind of trying to do versus the pass. It's tougher to determine because, oh, just because somebody may allow penetration, if they sweep them out to the outside and a quarterback steps up in the pocket, is that considered a win? I don't know. We don't need to talk about it. Will Hernandez has not been as bad as everyone has been pointing him out to be. That's my opinion. I don't think he has been as... I think he's actually been better than Kevin Zeitler.
Yeah.
So, it is a big loss. I would rather see Shane Lemieux because he's younger. We've seen Spencer Pulley. Whether he's going to be good or bad, I really don't think it... I don't care about Spencer Pulley. Shane Lemieux is a part of the Giants' future, and I would like to see him. Now, Bobby, the thing that stinks, and COVID stinks. Like, let's just get this out of the way. This is not a good time in the world. This is not a good time in the country.
I don't know about you. I had a great day, so speak for yourself.
It was raining here in the East Coast. It was a terrible day. But we all understand this. So when I say, you know, and when I say this, know that it's coming behind that context as well, that I'm not ignoring that COVID is terrible. But the timing of this, don't think it could be worse. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are by far and large the best defensive unit in the entire league. They are. And we don't feel that the Giants offensive line is ready to really even handle subpar mediocre competition. And what they've been thrown all season long is intense, great competition. And this is arguably going to be their toughest test when their starting guard will not be playing. Plus, their guys may be missing 1 to 2 days of practice in preparation for this game.
Counterpoint, throwback jerseys. Just saying. Counterpoint, throwback jerseys. No, in all seriousness, yeah. I mean, it sucks for all the obvious reasons. And, Justin, the Giants brought him in and he started the passing protocols. Kenny Wiggins, who, you know, he's been in the NFL for, you know, close to 10 years. He's had 38 starts with the Chargers and the Lions. You know, he's a guard. And I think that signals that this will be the last game for Kevin Zeitler as a New York Giant. You know, it takes a few days to get through the protocol, so, you know, he wouldn't be ready for Monday if they wanted to. I believe this Monday will be Kevin Zeitler's last game as a New York Giant. I don't see why they would go out and make that signing if that wasn't the case.
Yeah, especially since if they sign him, he can't play this Monday. Because all of the testing protocols and everything that you have to do, it's not like a guy can just show up on campus and be ready to go the next day. With how everything's going this year, they're not signing the new guard for this week. They're signing him for next week and for weeks beyond. You can maybe say that, you know, COVID fog, if Will Hernandez takes a little time to get over COVID, and if even though he's asymptomatic, if he's still showing signs of fatigue, I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm not a doctor. We're not going to talk about it, but I'm just trying to think of all the alternatives, but I'm willing to bet that you are right, Bobby Skinner. Willing to bet you're right.
Yeah. So let's actually talk about the game a little bit. The Bucs are lethal. Lethal. Brady and them are balling, man. I mean, Scotty Miller is their leading receiver. Now, Chris Godwin's out. So here's my positive view of it. Here's my positive view of it, Justin, is that Chris Godwin's out. We think Darnay Holmes is going to play. He was limited in practice, but he did practice. No, you know, he got rid of the non-contact jersey. So Bradbury and Evans. Bradbury's had success against Evans in the past, and Bradbury looks like his best version of himself. So
yeah, Evans has also played a disappearing act at certain times this year. So that's positive. Right. Yes,
and so just, you know, think about that. Gronk, Brady's been liking the go to him, but he'll throw to Gronk in tight coverage, which means, you know, who's to say we don't make a play on one of those? Now, Scotty Miller, he's pretty good, but we've seen Patrick Graham try and hide things. So, you know, maybe they could do that. And Patrick Graham's not the type of defense coordinator who's just going to line up and play the same defense every week. You know, well, they will do different things and new things. So that's my hope. That is my hope, you know, and... You know, they have the good tackles, but it's like, I want us to force them to run the ball. And then if our three big boys up front and Dex, Leo, and Dalvin can make some stops, that's my positive way of looking at this game. And then on the offensive side, they blitz like crazy. The third blitz happiest team in the NFL. They blitz like crazy. This is a team that we saw Jones have success against. They have a decent secondary, but not the best in the world. You know, their strength is up front with their D-line and JPP, Shaq Barrett, and Ndamukong Suh, and then their linebackers in Devin White and Lavonte David. You know, their corners aren't bad, but they're not good. You know what I'm saying? So if we can take advantage of some Shepard plays, sneak the running back out, there's times where you can sneak that running back out and you can have a big play in the passing game. So, and we saw Jones against not the same exact defense, but this defense last year have a coming out party like no other. So that is my like path to victory. It's a tough game. We sure as hell ain't favorites. This is as lopsided as a game can be, but that is my Bobby Skinner optimistic path to victory.
Yeah, the Giants defense, they're allowing 3.5 yards per rushing attempt. That is the fifth lowest in the National Football League. You know, granted, take that as you wish. A lot of teams have been running the ball in the fourth quarter against us because they're winning in games. So, the yards per attempt may be lower. But that's still good. You know, that's still pretty darn good. The passing defense for the Giants has wavered within the last few weeks, but getting Darnay Holmes back is kind of huge because then Logan Ryan can go back to playing safety pretty much full time. And Logan Ryan, if you remember back to that 49er game, you know, thinking back to a team that uses tight ends, multiple tight ends, Tampa Bay has, you know, I feel like Tampa Bay has like three good tight ends that they could throw the ball to. And you have Logan Ryan that could be blanketing tight ends, hopefully. That's the goal while Darnay Holmes is taking care of whoever's going to be in the slot. Is Scotty Miller going to be in the slot? Because Chris Godwin is your receiver, so don't know who's exactly going to be taking that spot.
I don't know. Tyler Johnson surely isn't a slot receiver. You know, the guy out of Minnesota.
No, he's a big outside guy.
So maybe they put Scotty Miller in the slot, but, you know, Miller's been, like you said, Godwin's been their slot guy, and Miller's been on the outside. So I don't know how they approach it. You know, maybe it's some two tight end stuff with Gronk and Brate. So, yeah, but on their defense.
Interior linebacker, too, that's still
the
very big concern. That's, you know, if we're going to get beat, it's going to be over the middle of the field. You can feel more comfortable about running three safety sets this week because Nate Ebner hopefully won't be out on the field as much.
I think there will be a bunch of three safety sets. One, because Brady, I was noticing it because the last two teams were kind of like some cover three teams. And honest, Brady's read and in man coverage was inside linebacker. Inside linebacker. So, and we'll get to that in this. I actually have something that like that for my giant factor, but nonetheless, they're a really good team. They're favorites right now in the NFC.
Yeah.
On defense, we kind of know. I mean, we've played this team a lot. You know, Shaq Barrett. We know how good he was. JPP. You know, we obviously know him. Devin White, who didn't play in the game last year, he is having a freaking year. He is having himself a year. He has 61 tackles. 8.5 tackles for a loss, 4 sacks. I mean, he is lighting stuff up. And then they have Lavonte David next to him. I mean, is that the best inside linebacker duo in the NFL?
Yeah, Bobby, we were saying this on our Talking Football NFL 4-Pack show, which we do on YouTube. We release that every Tuesday, I believe. So Tuesday, 8 a.m. Go check it out.
Not this week, though, because we play Monday Night Football.
Ah, that's right, not this week. Crap. So keep an eye out. Go subscribe to the YouTube. Keep an eye out for that. We're trying to dip our toes into Talking Football. Bobby, on the show, we talked about the Tampa Bay Bucks and their big win against the Raiders, big win against Packers the previous week. And I said between Shaq Barrett, JPP, Lavonte David, and Devin White, not only do I think they have the best interior linebacker duo in the NFL with Lavonte David and Devin White, I think they have the best linebacker duo. Edge rusher plus interior linebacker. I really think they do. You can make an argument. Maybe, well, no, Pittsburgh, their interior linebackers, they're not thrilled over there in Pittsburgh with. So I can't even argue them. But that interior linebacker and outside linebacker duo, edge rusher duo, I think it's the best in the league. And the Giants, what they have been having trouble with is exactly that kind of area, is holding the edge rushers. Their tackles have been struggling all year. We know Andrew Thomas has been struggling. Cam Fleming is being Cam Fleming and just doing what he's expected to do, which isn't much. And Daniel Jones has been forced to break containment, run to the outside, take off and run, step up in the pocket, try to hold on to the ball for too long, while also receivers are not getting separation. And the main difference of Tampa Bay's team last year versus this year, last year they were the best in the NFL against the run. That has not changed. They're the best in the NFL against the run like this year, and they were the best against the run in the NFL last year as well. But the thing that has changed is that they are actually doing a good job playing pass defense, and that has been the difference between them being a middle-of-the-pack defense and the number one defense, which tells you just how important it is to play pass defense in the NFL.
Yes. So, long story short, we're probably not going to have a lot of fun on Monday night. We're just probably not going to have a lot of fun on Monday night. You got anything else before we kick it to the interview?
No. Excited to hear what, especially from somebody from The Athletic. Bobby, that's a big get. That's a big get.
Greg Allman, I actually had him on Silverman Radio a couple years ago. He's good, smart. Like I said, we try to keep these to 10 minutes quick and concise and get some good info out of. So here it is, Greg Allman of The Athletic.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Whoa.
All right, we now welcome onto the program from The Athletic, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Greg Allman. Greg, what's going on, my man? How you doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me on. Hope you are as well.
Good. Of course, man, and we're friends with Doug, and so it's good to get other Athletic people on, and we're cool with their Yankees people and stuff too. So I want to jump right into it, though. Now, this is looks like a very lopsided matchup, because it is, honestly. That being said, we'll start with Godwin. He's out for this matchup. Doesn't mean you guys don't have a ton of talent everywhere else with Evans and Gronk. So a two-part question. One, do you think it's a significant loss against a Giants defense who's been kind of meddling? And then two, how has Tyler Johnson looked? And like, is he like the next man up in that role?
Yeah, I think it definitely hurts the Bucs, just because when they have Godwin and Evans, it's harder to kind of double cover their top receiver. With Godwin out, they can kind of shade a safety over to help. Honestly, Bradbury's done a pretty good job against Mike Evans over the years. I mean, they got each other twice a year when he was in Carolina. I think Bradbury had a pick, if not two, in London last year.
Yes.
So in terms of who steps up with Godwin out, and not only is Godwin out, but Antonio Brown is still in his suspension for one more week. Tyler Johnson probably steps up as much as anybody. Scotty Miller is a second-year guy, a deep ball threat that leads him in receiving yards. He'll get a little bit more as well. But I do think Tyler Johnson's probably the main guy that benefits from Chris Godwin being out. He's a fifth-round pick from Minnesota, really promising player, has touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, had been basically barely playing until the fifth game of the season. And now the last three, it's like he led him in yards against the Bears on a Thursday night and then has had touchdowns the last two. So he's starting to get the hang of it, and he'll help. He's not Godwin, but he'll help him.
Yeah, I remember through the draft process, that was one of our favorite guys. It's like, man, if somehow he slips to us in one of those later rounds, he could be the guy there. And yeah, Bradbury, man, I mean, I went and watched those Evans games as soon as the Giants signed him, and it was like, okay, pretty positive. Bradbury's exceeded the expectations that, we had for him. So it'll be interesting to see how that matchup works and then what else Graham does, who's been doing some different things with the defensive side of the ball. And to stick with the offense, we know Wirfs has been good, and I think Donovan Smith is the left tackle, correct?
Yes.
And it seems like he's been all right. How has the interior of the offensive line been? Because we're not expecting to win on the edges really any week anyways, but the Giants do have those three big guys in the middle, and Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, and Dalvin. How has the interior of the O-line held up for Tampa?
Really well. Their left guard's a guy named Ali Marpet, probably in line to get a Pro Bowl for the first time. Been graded real high from like your Pro Football Focus and stuff like that. Their center's a guy named Ryan Jensen, who's, again, above average, like a top 10 center, kind of an enforcer. Anybody that kind of gets out of line, they got to answer with Jensen there. And then their right guard's a little bit less proven, a guy named Alex Kappa, just in his second year as a starter, third year in the league. But he's graded out pretty well. So they've done well. I mean, their run blocking has definitely improved this year. I think Ronald Jones is fourth in the league in rushing yards, getting a decent average. Leonard Fournette has run well at times. And in terms of pass pro, I mean, they've given up just 8 sacks in 7 games, which by recent Buck standards is outstanding.
I know, it was unreal when I was looking at some of the team stats, 8 sacks in 7 games. Like I get Wirfs as an upgrade, but geez, that was crazy. Is that the biggest difference though between Tom and Jameis, is the fact that Tom's kind of getting the ball out in the right spots at the right time? Not even just the interceptions, just with Jameis, I mean, we saw last year in the Giants matchup, he lit us up. But he was always kind of that guy that just held on to the ball and would chuck it sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, Brady had his own issues with turnovers in like the first two games. But I mean, the last five games, he's got 15 touchdowns and one interception. And you can't play much cleaner than that. I do think he's just by his experience, just a lot sharper with not holding onto the ball too long, kind of having that internal clock to know how quickly you have to get rid of it. I don't know what the hard numbers are, but they definitely get rid of the ball a lot quicker for the most part than they did with Winston. I mean, it was good in that Jameis was able to extend plays sometimes, but it's hard to sustain blocks, especially if you don't know necessarily where the quarterback's going to be.
So Chicago basically seems like the one team to have some real success. You know, the Saints game, obviously, but, you know, like Tampa was moving the ball and it was their first game. What does Chicago do besides just Khalil Mack being a beast, you know, and having like the one bad game for worse? Like what was Chicago able to do that like no other team has been able to do with that Tampa offense?
Yeah, the two things that stand out are having some success in the red zone defense against the Bucs. They're really good at converting when they get in. I think they're still perfect in goal to go situations for the season, like 20, 21 for 21. But Chicago did a good job. I mean, the Bucs went 1-for-3 in the red zone against the Bears. They had another drive stall at the 21, another at the 29. So they're just outside the red zone. But yeah, they took an offense that really gets touchdowns consistently and they held them to field goals. So as a result, you know, you score five times if you're the Bucs, but you get 19 points to show for it. You lose 20-19. I think Khalil Mack did step up in a big way. They didn't handle that pressure well. I think they gave up five sacks in that game, if I remember right, either three or five. That's probably where it's, and then penalties too. I mean, the Bucs completely beat themselves with penalties in the second half of that game. They had three on one drive, were over 100 yards. The last two games, much cleaner. They had no penalties at all, which is crazy, against the Packers. And I think they had 4-for-20 maybe against the Raiders. They've just been a lot more disciplined, a lot more careful.
Right. So switching over to the defense, you know, obviously we saw Daniel Jones have, you know, a lot of success in his debut. It's a different team. And I know Bowles likes to blitz. I think you guys blitz the third most in the NFL. That being said, with blitzing comes trusting your guys on the back end. Is there like a weak spot? I mean, I want to save Winfield for later, but like, is there any of those corners where it's like, man, if a team can pick on him the right way, or is it like, what's the deal with the Tampa secondary is basically what I'm asking.
Yeah, when they go to nickel, they have Jamel Dean on the outside with Carlton Davis, and they have Sean Murphy Bunting in the slot. And Murphy Bunting's probably been a little bit less. He had a really good rookie year, had some big interceptions, had a pick six against the Lions. And I don't think he's been as sharp this year. So if I were to identify a vulnerability in that secondary right now, it'd probably be him. Carlton Davis is playing lights out. He'll probably line up on the top receiver that they think he should go up against. Jamel Dean is a taller, lanky guy on the outside who had a pick six against Aaron Rodgers. They got three safeties they like, so they'll even go into a dime sometimes. You mentioned Winfield as a rookie. Jordan Whitehead's playing well. And they've got a guy named Mike Edwards, who's kind of their third safety, but they're finding ways to get him in the game. He had an interception that was called back, and then he had a tip on Winfield's interception last week as well. So, yeah, lots of good young talent. They're all 24 years old or younger in that secondary as well.
Right. So, we both mentioned Winfield. He was one of my favorite guys to watch through the draft process last year. Just, like, the definition of the word playmaker and, you know, kind of takes after his father in that. How has he fit in? Like, has he been, like, a, you know, play the middle of the field or play up? Like, are they just using them all over?
Yeah, I mean, I think the strength that Antoine Winfield brings is versatility. He can be a box safety. He can be a center fielder. They've blitzed him. They've played him. They had an injury at corner, and they moved him to nickel for a game, and he was fine there. He's cross-trained there. So I think they're comfortable with him in nearly any situation. If he's covering tight end, he's a smaller guy, but he's a good leaper where he's held his own against bigger targets. They're very comfortable. They've blitzed him. He has two sacks, has a forced fumble. They're really, I mean, if anything, I think what he's done best is just be able to do a little bit of everything they've asked him to do. They try to use a lot of deception with their safeties. They'll switch between who's high, who's low, if they're too high, who the strong, who the free is. So there's a lot of, they like to have it where you can't just look at the safeties and really know what you're getting on a play.
Devin White was someone who missed that matchup last year with the Giants and seemed like they felt it. Looking at the stats, he seems to be a guy that's just completely taken off. What's he doing that is, you know, winning him, you know, player of the month and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it starts with speed. He's just ridiculously fast. Had three sacks against Derek Carr on Sunday, where you could really see his acceleration. They had a fourth and one. Game was pretty much over in the fourth quarter, but the Raiders had a fourth and one, and he's just trying to get to the marker on the sideline, and White just popped him a yard short and got the stop. White still has some coverage issues sometimes with, you know, if you get a really good pass catching back, it can be a challenge for him. But, you know, in terms of piling up tackles, first three, 4 weeks of the season, he was among the league leaders. He and Lavonte David both cover a lot of ground. They're playing smart. That run defense is still the number one run defense in the NFL. And they're very much an extension of that as the guys that get to opposing backs first and quickly.
Yeah, man, looking at some stuff, and my co-host, he's big into analytics, and he's like, man, this defense is just the best in the league, paired with Brady and that offense on the other side. I'm actually in Florida, man, so it's in Central Florida, so it's weird to see Tampa like being the talk of the town, you know, since the first time since, you know, I was in middle school when they were winning the Super Bowl with John Gruden. So it's been kind of nice to see, but also some of my friends, you know, becoming more of trash talkers where their team, where,
yeah,
you know, I used to be able to pull off the, you know, last time Bucks were in the playoffs, you know, the Giants were the ones that beat them. So been some fun Giants Bucks matchups in the past few years. So hopefully we get another one of those. Greg, I appreciate you coming on. Where can people find your work? Because I know a lot of our listeners already subscribed to The Athletic. So
yeah, it's all at theathletic.com. Thanks to everybody on board as a subscriber. If you're not, I'm pretty sure we still have a deal where you can get on for as little as $1 a month right now, which is as good a deal as we've had. I'm on Twitter, just at my name, Greg Aumann, GREGAUMAN. Thanks very much for having me on.
Greg, appreciate it.
All right, enjoy the game Sunday, or Monday, sorry.
Yep.
Take care.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the varsity.
The season is in full swing and the action is still unfolding, so head over to DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. With so many storylines across both professional and collegiate sports, this is the time to check out all that DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer. If you haven't tried this app yet, head over to the App Store now because you do not want to miss this. To celebrate the showdown in Happy Valley, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when placing a bet on either Ohio State or Penn State. Additionally, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to receive a sign-up bonus up to $1,000. On top of those great sign-up offers, DraftKings offers great odds boost every Sunday to help you make it rain. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOMBOY when you sign up to get this can't-miss offer. Pick either Penn State or Ohio State. Justin Fields, I would say pick Penn State in protest against Justin Fields because it's a pro Daniel Jones podcast. This is a pro Daniel Jones podcast. Bet $1 on them and cash $100 if they win. That's Penn State. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code JOMBOY during sign up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey only. Bonus compromise of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. And now, we want to welcome on to the program. Oh,
can I welcome on?
Oh, okay, go ahead, Bobby.
I have something to say.
Okay, go ahead.
I got something to say. Speaking of picks, the Blue Zone, you know, the Blue Zone podcast, we're doing a little competition for them. So they want us to do three picks each week. So I picked us for us this week. So Blue Zone, if you're listening, ask Justin next week and then Dan next week. So our picks are Titans -5.5, Steelers +3.5, and then our double pick is Raiders +2.5. So I represented us. So message them next week, Blue Zone. Appreciate it. All right, we now welcome on this friggin' clown with the weather, Weatherman Dan, Trivia Dan, the Trivia King, Weatherman Dan, Danny King.
You know, it's great to come on after hearing about our future quarterback, Justin Fields, going to be playing on Saturday night. But we'll get to the weather. Probably, I mean, no one's going to be in the stands, so that's good for them, because it's going to be cold, really cold. It's going to be 40 degrees. It's going to feel like 35. It's going to be a cold game there. Sheesh. I mean, it's just going to be bad for the players. I mean, it'll be fine for the players, but I mean, it's probably going to be a boring game. Let's be honest with ourselves here. 40 degrees. 8 mile per hour winds, humidity 51%, visibility 10 miles per hour. The visibility's been great all year, all right? So no worry about them
Thank
not being
God.
Able to see. I was worried about the visibility all year. And then we got the cloud cover at 41%. So there's that. You love to see the cloud cover.
40 degrees advantage Giants. Bucks are not good in cold weather. They didn't win their first cold weather game until 2003 against Chicago, the year they won the Super Bowl. Or 2002, sorry. So
like
that's
ever?
Just one more advantage for the Giants. It's like 80. It's like 85 degrees in Florida. Yeah, their first game where it was like 45 degrees or lower, they won a game.
Aren't they
was
like
2003?
Like a long history franchise?
Not that long, but yeah, since like the 60s.
So there was a 40-50-year gap, a 43-45-year gap, where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did not win a game below 45 degrees.
Yes, even longer than that, they were the only team without a kick return for a touchdown until like 2008.
I'm not surprised, though, because, like, Florida people, like, when it gets down to, like, 50, they bring out, like, the winter coats because they're so concerned, like, the world's ended.
I know, but it's still, it's like, that's still a crazy stat. And the kick return stat, that has nothing to do with weather. All right, Daniel, what's your Danny's dumb trivia question of the week?
All right, so last week you told me it was too easy. The week before was too hard, so I'm not sure what you guys think about this week. What is the name of the Giants running back to hold the most rushing yards in a single game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Single game. All time.
Rodney Hampton.
No.
Ron Dane?
No.
That would be funny. No. Ron Dane's biggest rushing game, I believe, was against the Dallas Cowboys where he had like 101 yards. So there you go. That's not the answer to your question, but
it's not.
The answer is Billy Taylor.
Wow.
Billy Taylor was selected in the fourth round of the 1970 NFL draft. Anyone who didn't know who Billy Taylor was, that's him. He had, on 33 attempts, he had 148 yards and two touchdowns on the day. He went on to play like three seasons with the Giants, then he got traded to the Raiders in the 81 season. He got traded to the Jets, and then he signed with the Raiders. And then he disappeared after that. He just fell out of the league.
That's a good one because some of our older listeners will know that. Like Marty should know the answer to that one. And it's one where we can like, you know, take a guess at it. I bet you I know the most passing yards. Eli Manning. I think he had 503 yards that one year.
It's Eli Manning.
Yep.
I'm never doing anything past it because it's just going to be Eli Manning.
Yeah, Eli had three interceptions the first half of that game. And then
best completion percentage.
He just went bananas in the second half. I was there in the stands. It was actually, hey, full circle. We talked about Greg Schiano like multiple times this week between Talking Football and Talking Giants. Greg Schiano was the head coach that game. And remember that they tried to like ambush Eli as soon as the game was over because they were taking a knee. And Tom Coughlin was pissed. I loved Tom Coughlin after that game. So
Schiano was such a bad head coach in the NFL. He had Darrell Revis playing cover two flats, like his old time there. What a dope.
What a fool.
What a dope.
All right. Fantasy draft. Fantasy draft is your first time listening to the preview show. We do four rounds of picks from just the Giants game. So Giants, Bucks. So this week is a little better than the last few weeks where we've been like Jason Kroom, in the last round. So we got some Bucks players to pick from this week. I did not take last place last week. I had 29.9 points compared to Danny's 29.3, who, you know, and what a loser. But I am in last place in the standings with 167 points. Danny has 256, and Justin's on a roll. He had 47.6 points last week, and he is in first place by a good, you know, a little less than 15 points with 271 points. So Justin's been on a roll. Danny, that hot streak to start the season is all gone. It's all rant out.
Justin's able to successfully pick the crap teams with players we have no clue who we're talking about. The streak starts back up this week. It's going to start back up this week.
The issue is Justin's not a real fan, so he's more willing to pick the other players' teams than us.
Yeah, that's true.
No, the past 2 weeks, I've been picking Giants players. So I'm like, there's no shot, like, Eagles are able to do anything to us, and all of a sudden
we lose
to the Eagles.
I picked Sterling Shepard against the Eagles, and he was going to be my Giant factor before Danny stole him, and he was the best fantasy player last week. So don't call me a fake fan. Bobby, who has the number one pick?
You do, Justin. Oh. Justin, you have the number one pick this week. I have second.
Lord.
Danny third, and then we'll snake back. So, Justin, pick number one.
Shepard, I dare you.
You don't want to have the number one pick. Give me...
James Bradbury screws up the number one pick.
He does.
Because like these teams have these great wide receivers, but it's like, do I want to take him against Bradbury? So, yeah, Bradbury screws up the number one pick, and that's what a corner's supposed to freaking do.
All right, this is a big-time hunch, and this is a big-time gamble. Give me Rob Gronkowski. He's been on a roll, and, you know, you could say what you want about Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers, Blake Martinez covering. I hope linebackers aren't covering him. But the Brady and Gronk connection has been back, and it sometimes doesn't matter who you have covering Gronk. Ain't going to stop him. Can't stop the connection. You can't stop the type of throws and the chemistry that they have.
Yeah, they're just on a roll. I got no faith in being able to slow down what Brady and Gronk got going right now.
Gronk is old and big and lumbering. I'm not worried about Gronk. I am, but I'm trying to be confident.
I am.
So the guy who's number one on my big board, I expect the Giants to try and force the Bucs to run. Like, you're not going to beat us over the top. You're not going to beat us with the passing game. You're going to have to beat us with the run. Ronald Jones, Rojo. I think he's going to get some carries. Let's say he, you know, gets one in for a touchdown. You know, get him a little bit involved in the receiving game. So I'm going Ronald Jones. I'm going Ronald Jones for the Bucs. We're going back-to-back Bucs to start this off. And like I said, I don't really, there's nobody from the Giants where it's like, I want to pick that guy. And, you know, Mike Evans, I just don't feel comfortable picking him with my first pick when he's going up against James Bradbury, who's had success against him in the past.
Yeah, Mike Evans, yeah, as you said, James Bradbury just always messes up the first pick because you want to pick the best guy, but James Bradbury always shuts down the number one receiver every week.
Yeah, except for last week. They just had him playing off of DeSean Jackson, and he gave up some catches. But yeah, for the most part, yeah. All right, Danny, snake it till you make it.
All right, so with my first pick, I will be taking Scotty Miller, the Tampa Bay Bucs wide receiver.
All Bucs first round.
With Godwin being out, I feel like Scotty Miller is going to be one of Brady's favorite targets. Last week, he had 22 fantasy points against the Raiders. So minus Mike Evans picking up James Bradbury, I feel like Scotty Miller could be going out there and having a day himself. So I'll take Scotty Miller.
Scotty doesn't know.
And then when I snake it back, I will be taking Leonard Fournette.
Fournette, you're going for the backup running back. Wow.
Fournette's been putting up some halfway decent points when he's getting running time when he gets some carries. And I think the Giants, want the defensive line is going to do his job for a few games. However, I feel like they're going to break at some point, because it always happens. This defense is good. But they always start breaking somewhere. Like, that randomly they have one off quarter. I think that's where Fournette takes advantage.
This is also probably going to be a game where the Bucs are going to be up big in the second half, and they're just going to run and feed the ball. And Leonard Fournette, when he hasn't been hurt, I know he was struggling with an injury the last few weeks. He came back last week against the Raiders. He looked pretty darn good. So I like that pick, Danny.
Thank you very much.
All right, so this is embarrassing as a Giants podcast. This is just very embarrassing. The first four picks have been Buccaneers players. That's just brutal. We took a backup running back before we took any New York Giants players. That's disrespectful. With that being said, though, there's three Giants players I could pick from here, and I couldn't, like, there's not one where it's like, this is the guy I should pick. So I know this guy won't be there when I loop back around. I'm going probably the best player in this whole thing. I'm going Mike Evans. He had a big game against us last year against, you know, Jackrabbit. I'm not expecting him to have a huge game, but I just feel like passing up on Mike Evans at this point of the draft would just be irresponsible. So I'm going Mike Evans. Like I said, I'm expecting Bradbury to play him well and for them to go everywhere else but there. I can't pass up Mike Evans at this point when I have – I mean, I'll probably have the guy I want from the Giants when I loop back around.
You're bound to, Mike Evans is going to have a halfway decent game, but it's Bradbury once again. He shuts down every number one receiver usually.
I know, but
it's
the fifth pick, so it's not like I'm...
No, yeah, obviously, it's a good pick where you're picking him. It's good value.
All right.
All right, Justin, pick Tyler Johnson.
No, don't. Justin, you got to look in you, and I'm afraid you're going to pick who I think you're going to pick.
Pick Tyler Johnson.
No, I'm picking Sterling Shepard.
Okay.
Did have a shoulder and a toe injury, so there is part of me that is afraid he's not going to play because Thursday either he was limited or he was out of practice. I think he was out of practice with that. Yeah, no, he was definitely out. Shoulder and toe injury, so I'm worried, but I think he will be fine. Think he will play. Makes sense. You know, Sterling Shepard, I think, is the best route runner. He's the security blanket for Daniel Jones. Darius Slayton's a pretty risky pick because it's very boom or bust because we don't throw the ball down the field. And the guy that I'm picking, he looked pretty darn good in the fourth quarter last week. look really
Evan
good.
Evan Engram.
No.
Wow.
No. Devonta Freeman's hurt. Give me
no.
Give me Wayne Gallman, even though the Bucks defense is like the best in the NFL against the run. But give me Wayne Gallman. Maybe he'll break some runs. Maybe he'll get like a 1 yard touchdown. So on the Gallman train.
I think Gallman's going to have a good game as a receiver because they like to run these cover zero blitzes or with like a high safety. I do think that'll give some opportunities for Gallman to get in the receiving game. I was close to making him my giant factor for this game, but because they are so good against the run, I'm not picking him. But yeah, Gallman. Now, we didn't talk about this much on the last pod because we lost. Or not the last pod, but the game win pod. I was ready to denounce my Wayne Gallman hate. I was going to become a Gallmanite like Danny King and Tim Coffey. I was getting ready to become a Gallmanite. But I need to have it in a win. I need to have it in a win to declare myself a Gallmanite. So, good pick. I'm going Slayton. They're going to play man coverage. So that means we're going to take some shots. He's our number one wide receiver on the outside. I think Shepard's going to play a little more slot. I'm just going Darius Slayton. It's Daniel Jones' probably favorite target. I do agree. I would have went Shepard over Slayton, but I'm going Slayton. Slayton at this point in the draft, I got to take him.
Yeah, I mean, a good pick. Now, see, this is where I would pick Evan Engram, but I'm not picking that god awful player. I'm not picking him. I'm taking my time away from him. We need time to separate ourselves. We need a break. Give me Tyler Johnson. I feel, once again, the Giants offense, who knows what we're even going to get on Sunday, on Monday night with whatever the heck they're dealing with. So I feel like Bucks players are the safe week, and I'm trying to get back in this thing. So give me Bucks players, please.
Tyler Johnson was a guy I really, really loved out of Minnesota. Good route runner, nice. Along with a guy who can really moss guys, a big-bodied guy that we kind of needed, especially when you look at things now. We kind of need a guy that is a good route runner, can be better. Anybody that's better than Golden Tate, an outside wide receiver that's better than Golden Tate, because Sterling Shepard is primarily, hopefully, our slot wide receiver. So
we should trade a draft pick for him.
Not funny.
I would trade a sixth-round pick for Tyler Johnson right now, straight up.
Okay.
Not funny.
I'm not joking. I really would.
Well, why would the Bucks accept that when they're going for it? So
they wouldn't. Because they're getting Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
All right, so I got to snake until I make it. So I feel like we've taken all the good Bucks players, the Giants players. I feel like the majority of them are
all
taken,
the good
not
Bucks
taken.
Players. We've taken all the Buck players.
I'm doing this mainly out of protest and hope it works out. Give me Caden Smith. I think the Giants may take away a few reps from Evan Engram. I think we see more of Caden Smith on Monday night because Evan Engram, he's had some bright spots, but that drop, that's unacceptable. Like, you got to punish him somehow for that. Give some reps to Caden and see what he can do. Let's see what he really got.
I've been talking all week. I think the Giants need to reduce Evan Engram's snap count.
You're kidding. It's been the only thing I've tweeted about this week.
Bobby wrote an article about that.
He wrote an article. He did a YouTube video. I've been saying it all week. That got me good. Bobby, yes, Danny. I hope the Giants read my block. Let's just say it like that. Bobby.
I hope they didn't. You want to know why?
Because you're going with Evan Engram.
Because I almost went with him in the last round, but I knew Danny was going to be emotional and not pick him. I knew it. This is the mind of a genius. I knew Danny was going to be emotional and not pick Engram.
You are more than 100 points behind first place.
They play. We're rebuilding, okay?
You're tanking.
We're rebuilding while winning. That's the motto, guys. We've been doing it for the past 3 years.
I'm winning the standings over you, Justin, so suck it. All right, so they play a lot of man coverage. Evan Engram had a big game against the Bucks last year. I'm going Evan Engram. Redeem yourself, Evan Engram. I'm going Evan Engram.
If he has a good game, I'm annoyed.
That's you're a bad fan.
I've been with him through everything. I'd be like, guys, he'll turn it around now. Next year, guys, he'll turn it around. He's done nothing. Nothing.
Oh, man. All right, Justin. Finish it off. Justin is looking at the roster. He doesn't even know who's left.
My fantasy app isn't loading enough in time, so I'm going to search Cameron Brate right now, and he has been crap. So, give me Golden Tate. Golden Tate.
Tate, my guy, Golden Tate, touchdown Tate. That's what they've been calling him, touchdown Tate.
I'd rather take Tate over Ingram. That's where I'm at right now.
Hey, he got a touchdown last week. He got me a touchdown last week.
Also, can we? I love how that's Tate's thing. Like, he did this last Thursday night. When he catches the touchdown, he just walks back like,
I love
on
it.
The man. And I love it too, but it's like, Tate, you've done nothing all year.
I know.
Nothing.
I love the celebration. Not so much loving him, though. But I do love the, I love cocky, disrespectful celebrations. And then he punches, you know, the goalpost. I know that probably triggers Justin, but Golden Tate. But he loves Golden Tate. He just picked him.
I have no comment.
Well, get ready to comment, because it's Giant Factor time, Justin, and you get the first pick of Giant Factor this week.
Golden Tate. Didn't really... Darnay Holmes. Basically, these last few weeks, without Darnay Holmes, this has almost felt like a different defense. I think a lot of the defense right now is kind of revolving around him because of the lack of depth that we have.
That's not a bad pick. Yeah. Not a bad pick. He's super important. If he plays, he's very important, because one, it allows Logan Ryan to do his thing, and he's been pretty decent. Besides the 49ers game, you know, I've been mostly happy with Darnay Holmes, especially with expectations.
It also means Corey Ballantyne's not out there.
Yes,
even a gosh, it sucked to see him out there. By the way, Maje Harper is just a madman. Like, I remember when he was in, like, he was like right in the him and Nick Gates were like the main people in the Golden Tate Jalen Ramsey fight after the Rams game. And I was like, wow, this guy is really right in there. And then last week where he like has like two late hits, I was like, oh, Maje Harper's just a psycho, which I don't hate that, but it is what it is. All right, my Giant Factor this week, it's a free agent addition by the New York Giants. He's new to the Giants, and I think he said this week, like, hey, the Giants have beat Tom Brady a couple times before when they were the underdog. It has happened. We need to talk about that more. We are Tom Brady's daddy. And I'm going with the middle linebacker, inside linebacker, Blake Martinez. Blake Martinez, you are my Giant Factor this week. One, the Bucs, they like to make their passing game reads off of the inside linebacker. One, that's one reason why you're my Giant Factor. Two, we got to stop the run up front. We can't have our safeties coming down and helping this game because of that. So you need to stop the run. It's those three big boys up in front of you, and you got to be there to fill. And three, we don't got nobody next to you. Whether it's David Mayo, who I've had a newfound appreciation for David Mayo because Devontae Downs sucks so bad. But nonetheless, David Mayo's not great. Downs sucks. We're playing Ebner out there. So, Blake Martinez, go out there, be a factor. Be the reason the Giants win. Have your signature moment as a New York Giants linebacker and be a Giant factor. Blake Martinez.
Show that speech, Martinez. All right, my Giants factor. I guess we're all going defense here. I got Kyler Fackrell as my Giants factor. He's played over 90% of the defensive snaps the past 3 weeks due to injuries, and now with Golden being gone, he's obviously, he's already getting more snaps over Golden, but that's going to continue. And we need to make Tom Brady feel uncomfortable in this spot, because if Tom Brady's able just to sit back there and do what Tom Brady does, he's just going to pick this defense apart one by one by one. So I want Kyler Fackrell to get up in Tom Brady's face this entire game. I did some look at the Bobby's Favorite Service PFF. He graded out as the Giants' 11th best defensive player on Thursday night, and the Buccaneers have the 9th best pass blocking.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to interrupt Giant Factors. That's my fault.
You ruined the good speech. No, but I mean, and the Buccaneers have a good pass blocking offensive line. So if Kyler Fackrell can cause some pressure on Tom Brady, make himself sack himself a few times, I think the Giants can have a chance to stay in this game for a few quarters. But Kyler Fackrell, give me some pass rush. Show us why the Giants signed you to that one-year deal. Give me Kyler Fackrell.
That extravagant one-year deal. All right, so we all went defense. We all went defense.
The Giants just put out a tweet that says no excuses with some pictures from practice today. So then I commented. I said no excuses. Not even COVID.
I think that's what they were going for.
I think that's what they were going for. I just wanted to point it out.
Not even if there's a fire.
Not even if there's a fire.
I'm going to tweet that, actually.
Not even if there's a fire.
Hold on, let me pull up Twitter. I'm on the Talking Giants account. Let me get off.
I love practice in 2020. Look at that. It's the freaking player wearing a mask.
Let's just talk about how much that also must have sucked today. It's raining.
They're 1-6. I got no sympathy for
it's
them right now.
It's raining. None. Pouring rain.
Good for them.
Cold. Good. And they Good. Had to wear mask with the face mask and with the chin strap. It must have sucked.
That one's a bummer. Other than that, I don't care. Win more games than you can practice inside. Wow. As simple as that.
Danny has just no sympathy or empathy.
None.
For the New York Football Giants players.
I said not even if there's a fire. Over under 18 likes by the time the podcast is over.
Over. Because your
you already
just
got one.
Likes.
You already have two. You already have three.
One of the likes is him. Let's be honest.
No, I haven't liked it myself yet.
All right, Bobby. All right, now
but I'm going to now. So I'm the fifth like. All right. This sounds really lame. All right. Let's get into quick picks. Justin, you're in last place because you're a loser. 30-25. You had a 3-5 week last week. The listeners are in first place because they pick favorites. To me, that's just being a loser anyways. Like, your record's the best, but I still view you guys as listeners or losers at 36-19.
So then I'm the winner?
No. Okay. Me and Danny are the winners. We both went 4-4 last week, and we are at 31-24. Let's start it off with Thursday Night Football. Falcons at Panthers. I have found, like, a newfound love for Thursday Night Football lately. I don't know what it is, but I am going to agree. I kind of want to go upset. I feel like an upset. I'm going upset city this week. I'm going Falcons. Listeners went Panthers. I don't know why, but it's Thursday Night Football. Let's get crazy. I'm going Falcons. Justin, who are you going?
I'm going to go with the Panthers. The Panthers are going to trade away Christian McCaffrey because Davis is the best running back in the NFL. Him. And
we need a running back right now.
And the Panthers are also the team that is the second most pass happy on second and long. So I love the Panthers.
Daniel.
I wanted Christian McCaffrey in 2017, but we drafted Evan Ingram. I'll take the Panthers.
McCaffrey would have been the better pick.
100%, but the Giants were good in 2016, so we were too far down the draft. But yeah, give me Sir Per. Give me the Panthers this week.
Sir Per. All right, we got Patriots at Bills, and this could be the end of the Patriots if they lose this. The listeners went Bills. Danny, who are you going?
I'm going Bills. I mean, the Patriots have already struggled. They're not going to have Julian Edelman either. Give me Josh Allen. Circle them wagons, baby.
Justin?
This game could be closer than people think because the Bills' defense is pretty bad, and it's strange how bad they are because the Bills' defense has been really good the last couple years, and you would think that they would only continue to improve since the quarterback is on their rookie deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think the game may be closer than people think, like I said, but still, Pats are just so beaten down right now, so give me the Bills.
Never count out Bill Belichick. When he's at it, when he's down, when he's in the corner, that's when the man's at his best. I believe in Bill. I'm going Patriots. They figured it out. Cam Newton has been bad, but Cam Newton is not. Like, Cam Newton's still Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going Patriots. They pull this out against the Bills. The Bills haven't beat them yet, so I'm going Patriots. Next, we got the Raiders, which I keep on writing them down as Oakland. I keep on forgetting they're in Las Vegas. We got the Raiders at the Browns. So listeners went Raiders. I think I'm going Browns. I originally had Raiders in this game, and I think I gave Raiders to the Blue Zone guys, but I don't know. I just feel like I'm going upset city this week. I'm going Browns. They're better off without Odell. That's been the hot take this week that everyone's been saying that I don't necessarily agree with.
I agree. Why not? Numbers don't lie, Bobby Skinner.
Their running game is way worse with Odell off the field. How about that?
Running the ball doesn't matter, though. Running the ball doesn't
matter. When you're Cleveland, it does.
Give me the Browns. Let Baker Mayfield cook.
It just doesn't flow well. It just doesn't flow well.
One thing Baker's cooking is pastries.
Oh.
Old chubby ass.
How's it going? Yeah, give me John Gruden
and the
Raiders.
Whoop his ass when he comes to New York. All right, well, you got the Raiders. I'm changing my pick. I'm going back to the Raiders, too. I literally just picked that because the listeners went Raiders, and I'm trying to fade the listeners this week. But I'm going Raiders. Gruden has the Browns numbers. I'm going the Raiders.
They lost their star wide receiver. Jarvis Landry's hurt. Odell Beckham Jr. is Odell Beckham Jr. He makes the Browns are a better team with
him. They didn't lose Donovan Peoples. You know. All right. Colts at Lions. This could be the last game for future New York Giants wide receiver Kenny Golladay. Guys, I'm all in on Kenny Golladay. I really am. And I would trade a third round pick for him. I know it sounds dumb and it's hypocritical. I'm in full bloom love with Kenny Golladay. He has surpassed Allen Robinson as my guy. That being said, I'm on the Bears train. I believe in this Bears team. People are trashing them. The Bears went 5-1, beat the Bucks, who everybody loves. And they have a bad game Monday Night Football. And everyone's like, see, this is the Bears. They're still 5-2. I'm on the Bears train, and I'm riding it till the wheels fall off.
Bears.
I've got the Bears.
Why are we talking about the Bears?
The Colts Lions, Bobby Skinner.
The Colts Lions.
Oh, man. I got the Colts. I got the Colts.
What a way to round it out. Just a beautiful Bears speech by selecting the Indianapolis Colts. Yes, I want Galladay as well. I don't want to give up a firm round pick. We've been in the same rodeo last year, and fans wanted to kill Dave Gettleman. Now if he does it with Galladay, they're like, oh, Dave Gettleman. So, no. But give me the Colts to win this
way
game.
Way to call him out, Danny.
Or the Bears.
Way to call him out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but Kenny Galladay, greater than Leonard Williams. And it ain't even close.
But Leonard Williams is making our defense better.
Doesn't matter.
Like, Kenny Galladay, we have Jason Garrett as our OC. What's good? Why is Galladay coming in and going to make us a better team right now?
I don't have enough time to go into it. I just put out a 10-minute video out on it. Justin, who do you got?
Colts. Phillip Rivers has been pretty good.
But Phillip Rivers cook. That's
you think Phillip Rivers would want to come to New York if the Jones experiment doesn't work out?
Steelers at Ravens. Shut up, Daniel. Listeners went Ravens. I believe in the Steelers.
Yeah.
I think they're a better team than the Ravens. And I don't hate the – I still think the Ravens are really good. But I'm going to the Steelers, man. I think the Steelers team is really good, and I think they're going to have something for Lamar. This will be the game I'll be watching at 1 o'clock on Sunday. I'm going with Big Ben and those Steelers.
I agree. I think the defense is too good. Especially the run defense, that's the bread and butter of the Ravens, their rushing offense, and doing it in some creative ways. But I think the Steelers are going to draw up some creative ways to stop Lamar Jackson and company. Give me the Pittsburgh Steelers to stay undefeated.
Same as all you guys, Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll be watching Red Zone if anyone cares what I'm doing.
I tried Red Zone for 5 minutes and I couldn't do it. I have to watch games. I'll go back and forth from games, but I can't do Red Zone. We got Saints at Bears. I think you guys know who I'm going for in this one. Justin?
The Colts.
Saints.
The Colts. Oh, very funny, Danny.
Saints have looked Saints have looked better last couple weeks.
Daniel, who do you got?
Saints. They're getting Michael Thomas back. Enough said.
If he doesn't punch anybody in the face.
Yes, obviously. Barring that.
The Bears are good. The Bears are good. People need to stop dissing the Bears after one game. So it's a perfect example of media narrative. It's like they've been saying they suck, they lose one game. It's like, see? It's like, what do you mean, see? They're 5-2.
The offense
has to be 5-2.
The offense has been tough.
No one ever said the offense was great. We said the offense can win you some games and the defense is really good. That's what people have said.
Well, 5-2.
The Rams are a good team too. Like it's. Anyways, I can't stand the. Like people make like after 2-0 they said that and then they kept on winning games and like well. It's like the Joel Josh Allen effect.
Well, you're
Josh
in the media Allen's now. You're in the media now, so you're
yeah,
part
but
of
I'm not snobby like them. I'll do something dumb.
You need to post a dumb video tomorrow.
People that hate the Bears, this is the size of their
there it is
of their
there
wieners.
He is.
Oh,
there he is. He came out.
For those of you listening on the podcast app, Bobby
I'll
Skinner,
light your ass on fire.
Whoa, now he has a lighter.
He was being company friendly.
For those of you on the podcast app, Bobby Skinner got a tape measure out and he...
I'll drive this through your neck.
And he got 2 inches off of the tape measure. And he said that was the size of some male anatomy. What's the next game? We have 49ers Seahawks.
Bigger than Eagles.
49ers at Seahawks. I'm going Niners. The listeners want to see... The Niners, one, the Seahawks defense is horrible.
Yeah.
The Niners are going to have something for them. I'm going Niners. Justin?
You're dumb. Russell Wilson forever.
He lost last week.
Snacks Harrison's on the Seahawks, so I'm going to root for Snacks because he liked my tweet. In case anyone forgot, he liked my tweet.
He replied to you. He said he made Snacks cry. He literally said, you just made me cry.
I made Snacks cry, guys. That's all me. I got him. Well, Bobby sent me the video, and then I posted it.
That was so funny because like we were just starting, and I was like trying to figure out what, like, I was like, hey, you should post this video and like say something since, you know, like it was me like giving you a pointer and it's like, oh wow, Danny does a tweet that does like 10 times better than one I've ever done. And it was the one I told him to do. I was like, son of a
and then literally like a week after that happened, you had a tweet that got 10,000 likes.
Oh, I realized college football fans are crazy, and Jerry Jeudy juking someone is worth way more than all the hard work we do.
To be fair, I've also made Snacks cry multiple times.
Not, we're talking about the real Snacks, the Snacks we care about.
You, that is such an insult. He's going to get his father's machete and kill you both.
Well, we're a gun violence pod. We don't need machetes. Last game. Cowboys at the Eagles.
Wait, before we start, how is this a Sunday night game after what we experienced the past few games?
I love
it. All of a sudden we get Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray to Ben DiNucci and Carson Wentz.
Ben DiNucci. I really want the Cowboys to win because it'd just be so funny. But the Eagles have to be the pick here, right?
Yes.
I'm feeling it. Give me Ben DiNucci and the Cowboys.
There we go. All right. Let's see how it goes. All right. Danny, what's your prediction for Giants Bucks on Monday Night Football?
Probably pain. Long night. Dreadful. Horrendous. Giants win. Freaking 35-34.
Justin?
31-13 Bucks win.
I explained the path of victory earlier. Get it done. I'm not afraid of the Bucks. I'll never be afraid of the Bucks, no matter how good they are. And I'll never be afraid of Tom Brady's sorry ass. Giants 77, Bucks 0. Monday Night Football. Daniel Jones coming out party. Suck it. All right, that's an episode. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back for, you know, the game episode Monday night. It's going to be so fun because we're going to win. Appreciate you guys. Until then, let's go Big Blue.